This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Mitch Teich.
And I'm Bonnie North. There has been good news in recent years when it comes to Milwaukee's chronic homelessness problem. Simply put, fewer people are trying to survive out on the streets. But as with many social issues, there's a more complicated story just beneath the surface.
Writer Barbara Miner helps tell the story of the more silent homelessness problem here in an article and photo essay in the March issue of Milwaukee Magazine. One of the people she profiles is Natalie Hayden, who lived in a shelter with her daughter for 8 months recently. Miner and Hayden joined us in the studio. Welcome to you both.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Mitch.
What was the story of homelessness you were trying to tell with these portraits?
Homelessness, like many social issues in Milwaukee, is pretty complicated. So when I was, you know, talking it over with Chris, the editor at Milwaukee Magazine, and he was very good, we had a good back and forth, it was how to tell a complicated story on a pretty short timeline that really would grab people's attention. And we settled on, we really needed to tell stories, one, because it makes the issue real. And through various stories, one could approach the complexities rather than having just one person or one theme.
Well, and I think you're right that we kind of have a certain image in our minds of what homelessness often looks like, people under overpasses and bridges, standing by the on-ramps with signs, maybe a tent city. But really, it probably shouldn't be a surprise to us that the reality is more complicated than that.
Exactly. And that's exactly what we were trying to get at, because when I talked to Chris, he said, well, this is for the March issue. And I said, March. Now, little did I know then at that point that what kind of March we'd be having. But, you know, traditionally, you know, beginning of March, you get some sun and people are thinking of spring. And I said, Chris, people aren't going to be thinking about freezing to death under the underpass, which is a hugely important issue. But their minds will be elsewhere. And part of the purpose of the story was to remind people that homelessness is a year-round problem.
You make the point that there has been some progress made in alleviating the issue of traditional homelessness, but it's sort of the opposite when it comes to what you term the hidden homeless. Can you paint a picture of how the dynamic is changing in both of these ways?
Well, with the quote-unquote traditional homelessness, which is people who are chronically out on the streets or chronically in shelters, there's been more money going into that particular problem. And when you put money into a problem, there tend to be more solutions. The issue of homelessness, more broadly defined, is really grounded in a lot of broader social problems: racism, discrimination against LGBTQ, people with felony convictions, evictions. And these are much more complicated problems, and there hasn't yet been the push to specifically address that overall housing crisis in Milwaukee.
Is it harder to quantify?
Well, Milwaukee Public Schools actually is, the schools by federal law have to try and quantify this. And so they really have, in terms of that broader definition, if there's any reliable statistics, that's where you'll find it.
And the statistics were kind of stunning. I mean, this is not a statistics-laden story, but in an environment where it sounds like, on one hand, we're really doing something about chronic homelessness, the number of these, you know, sort of hidden homeless people is skyrocketing.
Definitely skyrocketing. And hidden homeless really is, I think, an appropriate term for the problem, because oftentimes people aren't seen as quote-unquote homeless in the traditional sense. They're couch surfing or they're bouncing around. But as I said, because of the federal law, the school districts, the public school districts, have to keep track. And one of the things that surprised me is not just that Milwaukee's figures have almost doubled, but this is true across the state as well.
Natalie Hayden, I gather your circumstances today are much better than when you and your daughter's situation was at its worst.
I definitely agree with you there.
When we're talking, you know, Barbara Miner and I are talking about homelessness, is it an out-of-body experience to listen to this conversation and think about when this was your life as well?
Absolutely. And I find myself in a space of reflecting more often than not. As of recently, I have spoken to many young ladies that are in the space that I once occupied, this hidden homelessness, you know, they obtained a certain level of education. They've done everything that's quote unquote by the book, you know, gotten married, had their family, and they find themselves in this space now living in a shelter or possibly someone's couch or like couch hopping. And I definitely can relate to that.
It must be difficult to talk about, but at some degree, you must be at a place where you're able to, at this point, to have shared it with Barbara and the city. Can you share with us how you ended up spending the time you did at the shelter where you ended up?
You know, my time at the shelter.
This is Sojourner,
it's
right?
It's Sojourner Family Peace Center, and it has so many names for us. It's called The Hotel. It speaks so many volumes to the levels of healing that I did receive. But my time there was definitely intentionally effective to the very healing that I needed when I arrived at the doorsteps.
And you had arrived there, unfortunately, due to domestic violence, right?
That's true, yes. Unfortunately.
Yeah. What did the time there do to allow you to get your life back in to a sense of normalcy, back in order?
The disruption, the dysfunction, the uncertainty, it put me in a space that Sojourner provides for all of their guests to really just focus on themselves, the inner peace that has been crumbled, the foundation that was no longer available to them. They have to completely start from scratch. And I looked at that as an opportunity to create the foundation that I so needed. In Sojourner, they offered an array of services that I did not know was provided to the community. So I came through the doors looking for shelter, and I left receiving so many other services that added to that the space that I can now occupy now.
Services like what?
Services such as, you know, acupuncture, therapy, trauma therapy, because it's very specific. When you're in a domestic violence shelter, you've been traumatized. And at some point, you've been chronically traumatized. So, you know, there's specific therapists that are there, not just for you, but for your children. They have a wonderful children's program that allows our children to continue to be children during trauma. And that was the most settling portion for me because I had my daughter with me. And it was important that not only was she able to continue to be the child that she deserves to be, but she was able to receive healing as well along the way.
You used the term uncertainty, and I wanted to bring Barbara back in on the conversation here because I think, you know, it's easy for us to wrap our heads around the uncertainty of, you know, will I freeze to death because I'm staying under an overpass and it's 20 degrees? But it sounds like the kind of uncertainty that Natalie is talking about is maybe an even more, I guess I don't want to quantify, but it's an especially insidious kind of uncertainty. Like, how am I going to get through this?
Well, there's like the uncertainty, for example, that I've been evicted. Now what? And that's on my record, and I'm going to have trouble finding a new place. Or I just lost my job. I have enough money for next month's rent, but after that, who knows? Or, you know, my car just got towed because I forgot to move it from the alternate side or the, you know, no snow removal parking, and it's in, you know, the lot, and I don't have the money to get that car out of the lot, which means I can't go to work. So there's just all these different factors. And, you know, people think, oh, you're homeless. You must be very untogether. You must be an addict. You must have mental health issues. You must be close to nothing. And every single person that I interviewed, they were amazing people. They were complicated people. None of them were defined by their homelessness. They defined themselves as mother, father, student, who, for a lot of different reasons, at a certain point in their life, found themselves without a place to call home.
Natalie, it sounds like what got you there happened, you know, in an instant. How important was patience in the time that you spent at Sojourner?
Patience was something that was displayed to me from the moment that I entered Sojourner. So I knew that it was imperative that I was first patient with myself. I also had to be patient with my daughter. You know, it's a domino effect. Everyone's affected by it. And I knew that it was necessary that first I must be patient with myself. And that is what allowed me to allow time to run its course and patience to run its course. And patience is still running its course.
How does that time, those months you spent at Sojourner, how does it shape who you are and what you do today?
So it lets me know that I have to be extremely intentional with my time. Sojourner was so concentrated. There was so much that I had to multitask in a short amount of time, even though in a shelter's time frame, you're technically not supposed to be there longer than a month, 2 months. But it's Sojourner's case by case.
And you were there for eight months?
8 months, yeah. Yes. And there was a lot that transpired, you know, with the courts, with my housing and employment and legal fees and just, you know, just trying to gather myself. There were a lot of moving pieces and components that needed to align in order for me to feel comfortable enough to fly out of the nest.
Do you feel, I mean, the word peace is in Sojourner's name. Do you feel at peace at this point?
Absolutely, yes.
Barbara, we talked with you before, some time ago, about your own photo essays. In this case, these were not images, this article's images were not ones that you took, but how important do you think these photographs by Kevin Miyazaki were in telling these stories?
Oh, absolutely essential. When I first discussed the story with Chris, like I said, we had this crazy time frame of about a month over the holidays of the Christmas and New Year holidays. And that's probably the worst time to talk about people who don't have a home. But I also knew because of some personal things, Kevin would do an absolutely amazing job. He could do it in the time frame. And I know Kevin, and I was very comfortable working with him. And I think his photos are absolutely stunning.
Natalie, I would think that it would be difficult to tell this story to the world. Did you have qualms in putting yourself out there, or was it important for you to share it?
I think it's extremely important that I did share and that I continue to share. There was no reservations on putting it out there. It's necessary.
Well, I'm grateful that you did. And Barbara Miner, I'm grateful that we had a chance to, first of all, read all of these stories and spend some time with both of you in talking about them.
Thank you, Mitch.
Thank you.
Barbara Miner's story on hidden homelessness in Milwaukee is in the March issue of Milwaukee Magazine. Natalie Hayden is one of the people that she profiles. She now works as a counselor with the Milwaukee Job Corps. You can find more about the story at WUWM.com.